The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to the First Bite podcast, the Detroit Lions preview podcast for Pride of Detroit, where we talk about the Lions' upcoming matchup. This week, it's a big one. Week 6, Lions coming out of the bye week 2-1-1. They'll be facing their divisional foe, the 4-1 Green Bay Packers on Monday Night Football, Lions' first divisional game of the year. Definitely a big one, inarguably for first place in the NFC North. Arguably for first place in the NFC North down the line, we shall see. At this point, it's a first place Green Bay Packers and the second place Detroit Lions. I am your host for First Bite. My name is Jeremy Reisman. I'm the managing editor at Pride of Detroit. You can find me at Detroit Online on Twitter. And with me today, as we always do, we like to get an opposing viewpoint on these preview podcasts. So with me today, a guy with a long resume. Let me see if I can get it all out in one breath. He is an editor at Acme Packing Company, the SB Nation site for Green Bay. He is the host of the Locked On Packers podcast. He's a contributor at Pro Football Weekly, and he's a writer over at Packer Report. And also, he recently told me he's an Aquarius. Peter Bukowski is with us tonight. Peter, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. And that's at Peter_Bukowski on Twitter. That's Bukowski. Peter, I want to get right into it. Let's talk about the Packers offseason, because it was certainly an interesting one, and I would say an uncharacteristic one for the Packers. First of all, there's coaching changes, which is something that we don't see very often in Green Bay. And then there's also a very active free agency, which is something we never see in Green Bay. And tell me if I'm getting this wrong, but it kind of seemed like they took on a different strategy for offense and one for defense. So offensively speaking, it seems like the focus was on coaching staff, change of scheme, change of coaches, kind of keep the same personnel for the most part. But then on defense, it's a complete overhaul on personnel. You keep your defensive coordinator, you keep the scheme. Is that an accurate overview of what happened this offseason?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. And it makes sense too, right? You fire Mike McCarthy because you feel like he is underperforming his responsibility. And his responsibility, the thing that separates Mike McCarthy, or separated, past tense, Mike McCarthy from the rest of the league, was he was one of the best offensive coaches at his apex in the league. And it would be easy now to get off the jokes. And trust me, I got off plenty of jokes at the expense of Mike McCarthy. But it's easy to forget now, he revitalized Brett Favre's career back in 2007. That team that went 13-3, Brett Favre's career, he was lost in the wilderness, and Mike McCarthy came in and turned that around. It would be easy to forget the work that he did with Aaron Rodgers and the mechanical changes there, and what they did as he was one of the best play callers in the game for a long time. And his advantage there, I think, really waned. And when you look at what this team was last season, what the offense was, you look at it and you say, Aaron Jones is a really good running back. Devontae Adams is one of the best receivers in the league. They have one of the best pass blocking lines in football. They have one of the best run blocking lines in football. And you have Aaron Rodgers. You can't go 6-8-1 or 6-9-1, excuse me. So part of the reason that you get fired is because you're not holding up your end of the bargain. The opposite was true on defense. Mike Patton is a really good defensive coach. Their scheme last year was really good, and he is one of the best designer blitz coaches in football. The problem was they didn't have the secondary to cover, and they couldn't rush with four. This year, they are leading the league in four-man pressure. And not just the sending of four-man pressure. I mean pressure rate when sending only four guys. Right. And Mike Patton can get home with three guys because you can show six guys coming, and the offensive line know which guys are coming. And so you send three, and all of a sudden one guy is coming. You know, he's got a lineman half on, and it's tough to pick that up. So I think you nailed the idea here. And again, I think it all follows a pretty intuitive, logical plan when you look at what this team has been over the last few seasons.
Well, let's get into some of the specifics about what they changed and who's in and who's out and that sort of thing. Let's start with that new offense. And the Packers obviously bring in Matt LaFleur, the guy who's touched Sean McVay, who's worked with Kyle Shanahan, bringing Nathaniel Hackett as the offensive coordinator, well-respected guy out of the Jaguars. Tell me what's new about this scheme. I mean, as you mentioned, obviously, Aaron Jones has figured to be a bigger part of this offense so far. We know Kyle Shanahan loves motion and kind of redirections and all sorts of kind of fun looking stuff. Is that what the Packers offense looks like so far?
You know, I was just having this conversation with Jason Hirschhorn, my colleague over at Acme Packing Company, and that a lot of the offense in specifics, when you look at just like, let's say, combinations or the actual blocking schemes for a run fit, it is not night and day by any means. What is different, I think, is more philosophical. How they get there is the difference. You know, you look at a Kyle Shanahan offense and a Sean McVay offense, and you would say they run a lot of the same stuff at its core. It's just how they get there is very different. He loves to use 11 personnel with three receivers. Kyle Shanahan likes to play traditionally, likes to play with a fullback, likes to play with two tight ends, but they end up running a lot of similar concepts, and it's all based on outside zone, all based on that play action game. Green Bay is very much the same way in that a lot of the stuff they're running, I mean, they're still running slant flat. That's a Mike McCarthy staple. That's a West Coast staple. This is still a West Coast offense. There's still a lot of Mike McCarthy's offense in this offense. And that makes sense too, right? Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if you guys know this, decent quarterback for Mike McCarthy over his career. You don't have to change that much, right? And the good part of it is you don't have to, because a lot of this offense is the same. It's how you get there that's different. You're running it out of condensed formations. You add in some jet sweep motion, some orbit motion. You use play action differently. And that is the difference. The biggest difference for this offense is the schematic and philosophical approach is different. They're much more balanced on first down. Last year, the Packers were the most pass-heavy team in the league on first down, but they rarely used play action, one of the lowest play action rate teams in football. This year, they're one of the most effective first down passing teams precisely because they're using play action around 30% of the time. One of the best early down passing teams in football. They're one of the best scripted teams in football right now. The best, in fact, passing the ball. And part of that is because the scripted plays Matt LaFleur has been able to dial up. He is very good at identifying flaws and coming out and just when they are, I wrote about this for Packer Report yesterday, when they're able to just call plays, absent situation, neutral situations, just pick up yards. They've been really good. Where things have gotten bogged down a little bit is on, you know, third and six. Okay, now we got to pick up 6 yards. That seems to be the mentality. Whereas in other situations, they're just calling the best play. And it's the part that I think needs to change. This was also a problem for Mike McCarthy. On third and one, he wanted to only pick up one. And that's a very traditional way of looking at it. I think Matt LaFleur can improve there. I think they can get better there. Because they're a top five offense on early downs, as I said, and they're a top five offense in the red zone. So if they can get this third down thing figured out, then all of a sudden they become, you know, probably one of the four or five best offenses in football, if we're being honest.
Well, that's a scary thought. let's then move to the defense, which is also a bit of a scary thought based on early results. Let's talk about some of the personnel changes. Like I said, kind of an overhaul over there. Gone are some staples of the past. Clay Matthews, Mike Daniels. Bring in, obviously, let's just talk about the Smiths right ahead. Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, the two edge guys coming in. They've combined for 10.5 sacks through five games. Just how much of a transformation has those two alone brought to this defense?
Well, you mentioned the on-field part of it, and that's obviously a huge impact. The pressure with four thing, I mean, that changes your defense when you can bring pressure with four, because it allows you to do more creative things on the back end with coverage.
Right.
It allows you to be less predictive by personnel. You can be a little bit more matchup friendly. You don't have to worry about, are there linebackers on the field, are there safeties on the field? Because no matter who is out there, the other seven guys, you know that the four guys on the field can get you pressure. But the second part of this, and I don't know if it's just as important, because it's hard to quantify some of these soft skill things, but Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith have come into a locker room, absolutely owned it from the jump. Mm-hmm. Za'Darius Smith has taken Rashawn Gary under his wing, a raw prospect out of Michigan. I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with.
Yep.
He is a ball of tools, not a finished product by any means.
Right.
But he plays and has played for the Packers really hard, and has just become attached at the hip to Za'Darius Smith. And in his downtime is watching Za'Darius Smith tape, and will go up to Z in practice and say, "Hey, I was watching you do this in this game against this guy. Why did you do this?" And is setting a tone of culture, of leadership. Aaron Rodgers spoke about it after the Cowboys game, that it is a looser locker room. It is a locker room that likes being around each other a little bit more. And when you have leaders, you know, the Brian Gutekunst offseason involved Adrian Amos, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, and Billy Turner. None of those guys are over 27. And none of those guys have won in any significant way at their previous jobs. They came in hungry, but young, and hungry to be leaders. You know, Amos, Bears fans loved to tell me all offseason was the 11th or 10th most important player on that defense. He's not in Green Bay, and as a result, he has elevated his leadership role. Za'Darius Smith was not even a full-time starter in Baltimore. He has been given that opportunity. He has seized it on the field and off the field, and it has paid significant dividends for this entire team, not just the defense.
Yeah, and it looks just as impressive on paper and on film after five games. And let's get into that a little bit, because I bring up the Packers defense a lot and how improved they look to me. A lot of Lions fans kind of, I mean, you know, they're not necessarily the most objective of people. They look at the Packers schedule. They see the Bears, the Vikings, the Broncos. Not too great offensive, not a great set of offensive teams. And then you have the Eagles game in which, quote unquote, the Packers defense got exposed. Is that how you see it at all? Are Lions fans onto anything there? Or, you know, is that just a little bit of homerism?
Well, I guess I'll leave the homerism bit of this for someone else. But, I do think it's fair to have questions, but at the same time, you know, the great people at Football Outsiders do schedule adjust.
Right.
And they're still a top 10 defense by DVOA, which is defense adjusted over average. So even accounting for schedule, this has been one of the best defenses in football. They've been one of the best pass rushes in football. No matter what metric you use, they've been one of the best teams in football at creating turnovers. And the turnover part is not as sticky. That's a little bit more random, but this is a cultural shift. I know I've used that word a lot, but it cannot be understated. This is a much more aggressive defense than it was. It is a much faster defense than it was. It is a more physical defense than it was. And you put all those things together, and it's not hard to see the improvement. And you know, I know that there are going to be fans, Lion or otherwise, who look at the Cowboy game and say, well, Dak Prescott, 463, Jair Alexander, who's supposed to be the star player, gets lit up by Amari Cooper. And that part is true. Those numbers are real. And Jair Alexander did not have a great game. With 5 minutes left in the third quarter, that game was 24-3.
Yep.
And 3 minutes later, it was 31-3. So that's nice. At halftime, Dak Prescott had 140 yards. And they were getting trucked at home. So that's, and it was a similar thing with the Vikings and Kirk Cousins. You know, the numbers in the Vikings game, it looked like the Vikings dominated the Packers by yardage totals and by yards per play and all that stuff. Well, they were up 21-0 in the first quarter. Green Bay was.
Right.
So, you know, I think some of that stuff, Football Outsiders also adjusts for things like garbage time and you know, so that is, I think helps tamp down some of the questions about, oh, who did they play? Who have they played? On the other side, you know, I'm sure we'll get to this later, but I've been really impressed with the Bears, I have been impressed by the Bears defense. That's true. but the Lions defense, you know, was watching the Chiefs game earlier and was surprised to see how little they blitzed, was surprised to see how effective they were just rushing three and four guys mm-hmm. and dropping everyone and saying, Patrick Mahomes, we dare you to beat us. And really, he couldn't really a lot of the game. I sort of was shocked looking up at the final score and thinking, how did they score that many points? Because I thought Patrick Mahomes, it didn't just look mortal. I think for a lot of the game, he looked bad.
Yeah.
And it had everything to do with what the Lions did.
Yeah. And we will get to that in our matchup segment in the next segment. I do want to touch on one other part of the Packers defense, because as good as they are against the pass, they have struggled quite a bit against the run. 28th in run defense, DVOA, given up over 100 yards in four straight games. In some of those games, we're talking over 5 yards per carry. What's going on there? Is that just kind of a situation in which the Packers will take it on the ground if they can stop them on the run or stop them in the air?
They really do not care.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they do not care. And Mike Pettine says all the right things. Hey, we want to stop everyone. Mike, no, you don't. And I think he's serious when he says that, but his great line is, you know, it's a lot quicker to fly to Miami than to walk. And that's how they feel about defense. You will not beat us through the air. That's what they're saying to opposing teams. And that they're going to play small. They're going to play with, you know, their best four-man rush lineup is one defensive lineman. It's Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, Rashawn Gary, and Kenny Clark. And you put all those guys on the field at once and you four-man it. And I mean, I don't think the Lions are going to do well against that four-man group. Most offensive lines in the league will not do well against that four-man group. It is one of those things. Part of it is that they've been up in these games, and so it has been easier for them to say we can play small. You know, you can jump out to a 14-0 lead against Dallas. You know, your second inside linebacker doesn't need to be on the field because right. Dallas is playing with, you know, three receivers and spreading it out and trying to throw the ball to win. They just are going to let you run the ball. And I go back to the Denver game because this is something Packer fans are worried about. I'm not, and I don't think the Packers are either. You go back to the Denver game and Lindsley and Freeman, they were running the ball effectively against Green Bay. And Green Bay said, guys, keep it up. Just keep it up. Keep running the ball. And they did. And finally, you look up at the end of the game and they have all this yardage. I mean, I think they had something like 160 yards on the ground, 3.8 a carry. And it's like, listen, if you want to have 160 yards on 3.8 a carry, Mike Patton is going to say vaya con Dios, because he just doesn't care. Like, if that's what you want, I mean, and it's simple math too, right? Yeah. Even a bad quarterback is going to average 6 yards an attempt. Yeah. And the best running back is going to average 5 yards an attempt. And so it's not just, and we can say, oh, well, play action. That's the other thing, right? Green Bay has a top five defense against play action. In terms of yards per play on play action, they are one of the best play action defenses in the league, specifically because they do not care if you run the ball. And so it's like, okay, if your advantage as a play action team is that play action is efficient and that helps your passing game, great, except Green Bay doesn't care if you run the ball. So play action becomes less effective in that instance.
Interesting. Interesting. All right, before we go on to the second segment and talk about matchups, I want to do a quick injury update with the Packers. Unfortunately, we're doing this on a Wednesday, and we don't have any injury reports out yet due to the Monday night game. But, Peter, if you can tell me anything you know about Davante Adams, obviously dealing with a turf toe, missed last week, and then Darnell Savage left last game with, I want to say, an ankle?
Yep. So the Savage one is something we have a little bit more information on after the game. No structural damage to that ankle. He had an issue earlier in the season where he had gotten kicked in the shin, and we saw him in a walking boot for a couple of days, and then he practiced and there were no problems. I would anticipate it being the same thing in this game. He was moving around on the sidelines. He was okay. It is technically a high ankle sprain, but it does not seem at all serious. And my expectation would be that he can go on Monday. The Devontae Adams one is so much harder to predict.
Yeah,
he is not in a boot, has not been in a boot. And so turf toe is a weird injury. It is so fickle. The foot is such a weird set of bones and ligaments and cartilage. And I mean, it is, anyone that's ever had foot issues can tell you, if you've ever been to a foot doctor, he's like, yeah, there's like 1,000 connecting points in your foot. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah.
So it's hard to know. I mean, he's walking around without a limp. He's walking around in sneakers. He was doing rehab last week. So until we see the injury report, you know, it happened on Thursday, and there was some speculation he was going to be good to go on Monday. While the reporting was pretty early in the week that he was not going to be able to go for Dallas. I guess if you want to really just read the tea leaves there, that would say that it was, even if it was a mild injury, it was perhaps worse than they said in terms of on the mild scale, but he got the extra time off and then is going to get the extra day. I hate to speculate on these kinds of things, so I won't. But if he's not back this week, I would expect he's back the following week. They made it seem like a sooner rather than later situation. And even on the high end, turf toe is like a 6 week kind of thing.
Right.
So, I mean, I would expect it, if it's not this week, it's next week. The only guess I'll make is that he is close. That's all. I mean, that's all I can speculate at this point.
That's fair. That's fair. All right. Great stuff, Peter. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk specific matchups, seeing how these two teams match up against each other, what we can expect to happen on Monday Night Football, and maybe even throw in a prediction or two. So you stick with us. We'll be right back on First Bite. And we're back with First Bite, your Pride of Detroit preview podcast for this week's game, Lions at Packers, Monday Night Football. I'm here with Peter Bukowski from Acme Packing Company, Locked On Packers podcast, Pro Football Weekly, and Packer Report. Let's move on to the matchups for this game, because I think it's a very intriguing matchup. In fact, I put a tweet out there earlier today, Wednesday night, about the Football Outsiders DVOA numbers and how basically every matchup, you know, Lions pass offense versus Green Bay's pass defense, that sort of thing, the rankings are within five numbers, I think, of each matchup, which is, you know, kind of striking. It's strength versus strength, weakness versus weakness. But let's start with when the Lions have the ball. Lions pass offense versus Packers pass defense. I think the main question here is protection, right? We already talked about the Smiths and how the Packers can bring pressure with just four guys without sending blitzes, but they're also a very aggressive defense that likes to kind of disguise their blitzes and disguise who's pass rushing and that sort of thing. Peter, what's your outlook on this matchup? Do the Lions have a shot at stopping this pass rush?
Do they have a shot? maybe.
I think you've already answered the question.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that to me, if you're a Lions fan or even if you're a Packers fan, I mean, I think a lot of Packers fans are terrified of Matthew Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is the last few years, he's played really well against Green Bay. I mean, the Monday night game 2 years ago against Brett Hundley, albeit against Brett Hundley and Dom Capers and all that stuff. I guess is that 3 seasons ago now, 2017. However you do the math, I don't, whatever. that game, you know, Dom Capers, I thought, had a pretty good plan, and Stafford just torched them, torched them, and just made great throws, had every answer. When we talk about a quarterback having answers, pre-snap, post-snap, you got to have the answers for whatever the defense is showing you. He had every answer. And, you know, that is scary if you're a Packers fan. On the other hand, you know, this defense has been outstanding, not just rushing the passer, but creating turnovers. I've been impressed. I mean, I've watched as part of my prep for the week. I've been able to watch a couple Lions games specifically because, you know, they played the Eagles the week before the Packers. Mm-hmm. They played the Chiefs 2 weeks before the Packers. And so that was, I got to watch the Lions prepping for the Lions. That makes sense, right? But I've been impressed with Matt Stafford, and I've been impressed with this offense, the scheme. It is so much more, I guess what I'll call modern. Mm-hmm. It is way better than anything I saw Daryl Bevel run in Seattle, which is weird. Yeah. I think it's there's a lot of wrinkles that Green Bay is going to have to be ready for. They mix personnel really well. They mix formations really well. One thing, you know, I noticed as I was going through the numbers, they are 7th in adjusted sack rate, which is good, but they are 17th in pressure rate allowed,
right,
which is less good. So if you're the Packers, your goal is not just to pressure Stafford. You certainly want to pressure him because he will still throw into coverage, but he can make ridiculous throws. That's the thing that Stafford has. Is he will make a ridiculous throw with pressure in his face off his back foot, and Kenny Golladay will just go up and moss a cornerback, and it's a touchdown. Yeah. And you're just like, God damn it. And that's just, I'm hopefully you can
you're
curse
fine.
On
each
other.
You're fine. Yes, you're good.
but that is how you feel as an opposing fan for sure. And I'm sure players and coordinators feel the same way. I think the effectiveness will change in my mind if and when we know what the status of TJ Hockenson is. Sure. And you know, the thing that we saw against the Chiefs rear its ugly head was some sort of characteristically Lions-y bonehead mistakes.
Sure.
You fumble in the red zone, the carry on fumble that turns into a touchdown the other way. I mean, if there has ever been a Lions-y moment, it is a 100-yard fumble return at the goal line. I mean, that is just peak Lions. And that stuff can't happen. You're not going to beat Green Bay doing that stuff. So, you know, I like the matchup on sort of both sides, if that makes sense. I mean, I think Detroit can do some things. I think they are going to have problems with pressure, but I like this group of skill players against almost anyone. I mean, I really like Jones. I really like Golladay. I think Hockenson is a future star. And, you know, Kerryon Johnson doesn't really do it for me, but I think he's good enough. And I like the versatility of their personnel with JD McKissick. So I like that, to paraphrase Kirk Cousins. But I also think that there are ways that Mike Patton can make life miserable for Matt Stafford. I think there are ways, especially on the interior for Green Bay, to sort of exert its will. I think you rush Za'Darius Smith more as a three tech. You see Kenny Clark, you know, getting on their guards, and I think they'll be able to exert their will. I was talking to Matt Derry, who hosts Locked On Lions.
Yep.
And he was saying, you know, a lot of this is going to come down to if you get the good versions of Ricky Wagner and Taylor Decker.
Right.
And if you do, you have a shot. And if you don't, it could be one of those like six sacks days where Stafford throws two picks.
Right.
And so for the Lions, you got to hope you get the former.
Yeah, you bring up a lot of good points there. And I think just to touch on a couple of them, the Daryl Bevel stuff, you know, looking completely different than his time in Seattle. I think you have to think about what he did in that year off where he didn't have a job and maybe he was looking around other offenses and getting a lot of inspiration. Because in a lot of ways, I think there is a lot of kind of the Kyle Shanahan motion, you know, finding ways to get tight ends open and using fullbacks and all that sort of stuff. And then just to touch on TJ Hockenson and his availability, obviously, like I said, no injury report out yet, but very promising. I saw him at practice today, full helmet pads, was even getting hit by some pads, suggesting that he's probably already in stage 5 of the concussion protocol, giving him, I think, a pretty good shot of playing today or this week, which is kind of a miracle given considering how scary his injury was against the Chiefs. But yeah, I think this is definitely a very intriguing matchup. I mean, we haven't really even talked much about the Packers' very much improved secondary with those safeties, with Jaire Alexander. Amari Cooper performance aside, I still think one of the best young corners in the league. Very, very interesting matchup. And I think like you kind of pointed out, I think this could definitely go either way.
I'm fascinated to see how Detroit wants to attack them, because they're going to play a lot of man coverage.
Yeah.
But I think Green Bay is going to sit back a lot of times with two safeties and say, you know, nothing over the top. Sorry, Matt Stafford, but Kenny Galladay is not going to beat us. Marvin Jones is not going to beat us over the top. And is Stafford going to be patient enough to make throws underneath? Is he going to have time? You know, if they run some of right. those mesh concepts, those crossing routes, is he going to have time to get to those guys? Is he going to have time to get to deep balls? How are they going to mitigate, you know, this pass rush, especially if Green Bay is going to play in a two shell, which I expect them to do a fair amount. Although Patton, you know, the irony of what happened with Amari Cooper is that late touchdown was because they weren't in a prevent defense.
Right.
And so it's like just the one time you would have said, hey, can you put two safeties back? And he didn't, and it turns into a touchdown. So I'm sort of like live by the sword, die by the sword. I'm that person, but
yeah.
I understand why fans would be like, Mike, come on, guy.
Right. And you have to wonder if the Lions think this is a game where they try to establish the run a little more. I mean, Matt Patricia says it all the time. He's very much of that old school mind where running the ball and stopping the run is how you win football games. And while that doesn't necessarily match up with how the Lions have been successful this year, and in fact, it's the exact opposite of how mm-hmm. the Lions have been successful this mm-hmm. year.
God bless them if that's what they want to do.
Yeah, right. Definitely one of the more frustrating parts about his kind of mantras, but they've been horrible at stopping the run. They've been horrible at running the ball and good at stopping the pass and good at passing the ball. And suddenly they're 2-1-1. So go figure. If Matt Patricia, you know, speaks true to his actual, you know, ideals, this seems like a game in which they could try to quote unquote establish the run, even if the Packers just have no interest in stopping them there. But at some point, I think you are going to have to air it out. And the Lions have been one of the better deep ball offenses in this year. So if the Packers do go into that two shell, I think it's going to be a difficult day for Matthew Stafford. He's going to have to fit some balls in some tight windows, which he has no problem trying to do.
That touchdown throw, unbelievable yes. touchdown throw in between like four Chiefs defenders.
Yes, yes. That was definitely the highlight of the week. Might be his best throw of the year. It's hard to imagine a better one coming soon. But let's switch it over to the Lions defense against the Packers offense. As you mentioned, you were watching some Lions film this week, and you had an interesting observation you put out there on Twitter, and you already kind of teased it a little bit here, where the Lions played very patient. They didn't rush. They didn't blitz a lot. They rushed four or three a lot, dropped a lot of men into coverage. It seemed like that was actually kind of the game plan against Aaron Rodgers in the first game last year, and it worked to varying degrees. You know, the Packers wide receivers, not the greatest set of receivers in the league. So the Lions were fine just dropping a bunch into coverage and forcing Aaron Rodgers to find somebody. And a lot of times he was holding on to the ball for a very long time. Is that going to work this year?
It's interesting, right? And this is also the game plan against prime Aaron Rodgers. That was how, you know, a lot of teams, this is how Detroit, you know, you go back to some of those games, especially in Detroit, they had better success.
Yeah.
You know, you play pressed on the outside. Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb did not like to be pressed. Mm-hmm. If you could be physical with them, you could disrupt them. And that was sort of the recipe. And Mahomes got impatient and he missed some throws. And Detroit said, if you're going to beat us deep, you're going to have to fit balls into coverage, or you're going to have to make perfect throws over the top, because there were plays to be made, especially down the field. And Mahomes just didn't make the throws. Right. And those are difficult throws. We're used to seeing Mahomes make them, but he did not stay patient. He was breaking the pocket when he didn't need to. I thought the pocket awareness in general, I don't want this to be a whole Patrick Mahomes pod, but I didn't think he handled what Detroit was doing to him well. The difference is Aaron Rodgers knows that this is the plan.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers has seen this going back to 2015. You know, this is what they've been seeing for a long time, even before that, really, because teams had just said, look, we're going to play two safeties. We're not going to let you take deep shots, and good luck with the run game. Good luck with whatever. And we don't think that you're going to stay patient enough. Well, Rodgers has been much more patient this year. He still holds the ball a little too long, but this offense has more outlets. They've been a really good screen team this year, and Aaron Jones is rolling. Mm-hmm. So if Green Bay's front, you know, if you're going to play forefront and play small with safeties and extra cornerbacks, Green Bay is going to say, cool, here is Danny Vitale and here is Mercedes Lewis, mm-hmm. and it's going to be big boy football time.
Yeah.
Yep. And they dictated offense to the Dallas Cowboys. They made the best linebacking duo in football look like, you know, also Rams. I mean, they sunned Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch, and you do not see that happen.
Yes, I was shocked to see Leighton Vander Esch just, you know, sucking air.
Aaron Jones was smoke to Leighton Vander Esch. He could not, I mean, he could not catch him. And, you know, I think that is the difference of Green Bay right now is, you know, the Chiefs early in the game had some success attacking with multiple tight ends, two tight end sets, crossing routes. They used a lot of condensed formations to try and create confusion. And I do think you can do that against Detroit. I think you can use the, you know, mesh concepts and some of that stuff to try and get them to be confused, try and rub them off. That didn't sound great.
I was going to let it slide.
Well, can't do it. But I just don't think they stayed. They didn't stay patient. That is the word that I kept going back to. Mahomes played impatiently. I thought Andy Reid played impatiently, called the game impatiently. And Matt LaFleur, what we've seen from him is he will stay balanced. He's going to keep giving the ball to Aaron Jones, and he's going to want to take shots, and they're going to take some shots in this game. I think the success of the offense, to me, if you can't pressure Rodgers, I just don't think right now with the way the offense is running the ball that you're going to be able to stop them. I mean, 31st in pressure rate for the Lions, 24th in adjusted sack rate. If they're going to rush three and rush four against Rodgers, he's going to pick them apart, and they're going to run the ball effectively in those situations. They've been really good throwing the ball from big personnel, two tight end sets, from two running back sets, and running back with the fullback. It's a little pony personnel with two running backs. I think Jamal Williams is going to be playing in this game. I have a feeling he's going to be ready. You didn't ask about that, but he's coming back off a scary hit against Philadelphia, but I have a feeling he's going to be able to play. So I think we'll see that as well. And, you know, say, okay, when your linebackers are on the field, Detroit, can you run with the backs of the Packers? Can you run with Aaron Jones? Can you run with Jimmy Graham and Robert Tonyan and Mercedes Lewis? And, you know, we'll see what the answer to that is.
Yeah. Linebackers have not really been a source of inspiration lately. I think the potential return of Deshaun Hand could help in that pressure situation. We're still not sure if he's ready to go or not from the elbow injury suffered in training camp, but we shall see, and we shall see what's going to happen on Monday night. And to help us figure out what's going to happen, it's time for our prediction portion, in which we call one thing we think we know, where we give a prediction, not necessarily a score prediction, but of something we're pretty sure is going to happen, even though this NFL season has already turned out to be quite unpredictable, and I've turned out to be horrible at this section of the show, but that's why I'm going to let you embarrass yourself first, Peter. What's the one thing you think you know from Lions Packers this week?
I think I know that Detroit's not going to be able to stop Green Bay. And I think is Green Bay is going to hit 30 points.
Okay.
And if that happens, it's a wrap.
Game over.
I don't think Detroit can score enough against Green Bay. It took, by the way, I was really impressed with the heat seeking missile. That is Justin Coleman, just punching balls out. I thought Detroit played really opportunistic football against Kansas City. They played opportunistic football against Philadelphia. It is definitely a different mindset with that defense, but they needed those things because Kansas City was able to move the ball at times. And I think Green Bay is going to be able to do that. Green Bay, I don't think he's going to turn the ball over in those kinds of ways. I don't think you're going to be able to force Rodgers into mistakes. And if they're going to play that soft coverage, I mean, we saw Bill Belichick try it a couple years ago in Lambeau, and that was Mike McCarthy's magnum opus. It was his masterpiece. And they worked the Patriots in that game. Now that was with Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb and a rookie Devontae Adams. And, you know, that was MVP Aaron Rodgers, but I just don't think that is a viable recipe this year in this offense with this team, especially with the way the Green Bay Packers defense is playing. If Green Bay gets to 30, they're going to win.
Ooh, okay. I'm sweating over here now. I'm going to totally cop out on my one thing I think I know because I've been bad at this, as I mentioned. The one thing I think I know about this game is that we're going to find out if this Lions offense is for real.
Yeah.
Not that the Lions have played horrible defenses through 4 weeks, but they haven't played any great ones. I think this Packers team is definitely the best defense they're going to face so far. Protecting Matthew Stafford is going to be, priority number one. But I think I'm very interested in see how this receiving core performs against a pretty darn good Packers secondary. So I'm not actually making any predictions. I'm just saying this is the week we find out whether this offense is for real. I'm sorry. I'm copping out. I'm sorry.
I would take that a step further. This is a show me game for Matt Patricia and this team.
Oh, absolutely.
I think. I mean, if you're for real this year and you are an improved team and you are a legitimate NFC playoff contender, this cannot be 2011 Packers Lions. It just like if you lose by two touchdowns, you're your pants getting pulled down and that is sort of a revelation of okay. It's the same old Lions. And I don't think that's going to happen. I will be on record saying that. I think this is a solid Lions team. But it's a show me game for Matt Patricia and this Lions team, I think.
And it's interesting because I think if the Lions, if they come close, they lose on a last second field goal, they lose by a touchdown, whatever it is, I don't think that's going to be enough to promote fans into being believers either, because we already had our moral victory of the year by hanging with the Chiefs. Doing that with the Packers is not going to be acceptable, even if it is a really good Packers team, even if it is in Lambeau, prime time, at night, all that sort of stuff. I don't think anyone is going to take anything positive from this game from Detroit's standpoint unless they win the game.
And that represents a positive step forward for this team, right? I mean, sure. No moral victories is an important step because, I mean, how many years between wins at Lambeau? I mean, right. Talk about moral victories. If anything, the Packers right now have to get off the schneid with losing these games at home. And I mean, I know Deshaun Kizer was heavily involved in one of those games and Brett Hundley is heavily involved in another one of those games.
Right.
And then you had, the wonky one was at 2015 where Mason Crosby misses the field goal
right.
at the end that would have won the game. The Green Bay has this is a game that they have to be at least a little bit afraid of, and that is a paradigmatic change in the Packers Lions relationship.
Absolutely. Well, Peter, that was some fantastic stuff. I hope you all enjoyed it. I need to give you a minute to promote your stuff because I'm sure a lot of Lions fans are going to want to hear more after this podcast. So the floor is yours. Tell us where people can find your stuff.
Easiest way to find everything that I do is on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. Locked on Packers is anywhere you can find podcasts, wherever you're listening to this. You just type it in. It's there. You can tell Alexa or Google Play or whatever to play it and it'll play it. And then I'm at Acme Packing Company, Packer Report. But I tweet out everything. So easiest thing is Twitter. And I try not to be a homer on there. I can't make promises, but I still may get accusations of it. But my thing is, I'd rather be right. So I don't really care about the outcome. I just want to be right. So that's the thing is, whatever take you're getting, it's a take I believe in because I want to be right above all else.
I can respect that. I can respect that. Peter, thanks for your time. That was excellent. And thank you all for listening. We will probably see you maybe Monday night live on Twitch. We'll see if we're going to be up for it. If not, you'll see us Thursday or Tuesday night. And we'll have our reactions to Lions Packers sometime early next week on the podcast. So thanks for joining us. We will see you early next week.